Romans 8. Led by the Holy Spirit of God. Led by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the title of the sermon today. That's what I feel like God was speaking to me to give to you today. Amen. How many love God's Word? We love God's Word. It is the foundation of the life. It is the solid rock which cannot be moved or altered. The Word connected with the Spirit has the power to take a hard heart and break it into pieces. It has the power to expose sin. It has the power to reveal revelation and truth and to cause the believer to be transformed into the image and the likeness of God. Your Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your words did come to me, God, and I did eat them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. For I bear your name, O Lord of heaven's armies. He is God, and there is no other, and there is no one that can save you but Him, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is His blood that He has purchased you out of the hands of the enemy. Amen. And brought you unto the Father without spot or blemish in His presence, holy and acceptable in His sight, without fault. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and about being led and governed by the Holy Spirit. I want you to pay attention explicitly to these words, led and governed, controlled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, governed by the Holy Spirit. We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit anymore. He's the most neglected part of God. And yet, He is the very presence of God in your life. The Bible calls Him the seed of God living inside of you. He reproduces the character and the DNA of God. If you remove yourself from the leadings and the government of the Holy Spirit, you will stay an infant. You will stay immature. You will be manipulated by Satan. You will be under tyranny because the enemy will come in. And whoever you surrender yourself a servant to, that's whose servant you will become, whether it is of Satan, whether it is, and when I say of Satan, we have a picture of like something in our mind, but I'm telling you, addictions, strongholds, things that occupy too much of your time, gossip, negativity, those are strongholds. Those are areas that have not been submitted. Our speech, our life, our conduct, our thoughts, all of them were meant to be governed by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, how can I have God moving that deeply in my life? And how can I have God do those things? You die. You get on that cross and you die. You die to your sins. You die to your thoughts. You die to your waywardness. Because you have not yet entered the glory of God until you have got on that cross with Christ, died with Him, which is what the Bible says that we did. We died when Christ was on the cross, we were with Him, right? And we died on that cross to our selfishness, and we died on that cross to our waywardness, and we died on that cross to our sins. He became sin so that we could have the promises of God that are in Christ. Paul says, you were in Christ. You were in Christ. And when He ascended, who ascended? You ascended. You ascended. This is Hebrews. Probably one of the most neglected books of the New Testament is the books of Hebrews. You know why? It takes you deeper. Deeper in the knowledge of God. Deeper in the knowledge of Christ the Son. Being led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when He ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. And He led vanquished foes. All of those foes, all of those enemies, all of those who have tried to capture you, apprehend you, destroy you, and take what belongs to God and pervert it. The Bible says that when He ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. What is the greatest gift that we have? It is Christ and His blood and the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we're not being governed by the Holy Spirit, if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, if we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to be baptized? Fully submerged underwater, completely given over to God. When you arise full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And if that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, if He dwells in you, and the question is if, it's an if, it's an if, to the level of spiritual anointing and to the level of the power of God in your life, to the level of Christ, Christ being reflected out of your image and your purpose, that is the level to which you have submitted unto God, His Word, and the Holy Spirit. Do you want more? I do. I'm not there. I'm not there. There's so much more. There's more of God. and He will give you all that you desire. Just remember, it's your desire. What do you want? More of the Holy Spirit. He says in His Word, He says, if your son comes to you and he wants bread, will you give him a stone? If you come to him and want a fish, will I give you a serpent? How much more will I give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Ask Him every day. More of the Holy Spirit. More of your leadership in my life. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. He's the most neglected part of God. We talk about Jesus, we talk about the Father, we neglect the Holy Spirit, and yet He has been deposited in us. Jesus said this, He said, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, it is good and expedient and advantageous to you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, listen to that, the Strengthener, the Standby, listen to all of the titles that describe God living inside of you, the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He goes, Jesus said, if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come to you. He won't be in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Listen to that. I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when He comes, listen to what He does. He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, about uprightness and right standing with God, and about judgment and about sin, because they do not believe in me. Listen to that. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to convict and convince the world and bring a demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness and about uprightness of heart with God. It's because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. And then I'm also going to reveal to them about judgment. Because, listen to this, and I love it. Because the ruler, the evil genius, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned. And sentence has already been passed on him. Know your position. He is defeated. He will only come where we give Him a door, where we give Him an entrance, where we give Him a place. He will only come. Satan can only rule an area of your life that you have refused to submit to the Holy Spirit. So today I want to take you to Romans 8. And I want to use a demonstration as we come to Romans 8, because Paul has went to great lengths in this book of Romans to tell people that you were a mess before Christ found you. You were sinners. You were participating in every form of paganism. You were involved in witchcraft. You were involved in the occult. You were involved in satanic practices, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it is only through Christ Jesus that we have salvation and eternal life. He opens up the book of Romans and he gives a list of all of these terrible sins that destroy humanity, that destroy human life, that take hold of people's hearts and their minds and hold them into captivity. It would be like Satan taking you and shoving your head underwater and leaving you there. That's what he does when he has a stronghold in your life. He's shoving you underwater. He's preventing you from breathing. He's keeping you from the best that God has for you. He's trying to stop you from what God has called you to do. He's trying to hinder you from fulfilling your will and your purpose. For to live is to do the will of God. It is to give God glory and to fulfill the purpose to which you were created. So every time we give Satan an inch, he'll take 20 miles, because he has every desire to stop you from the will of God. And yet God has already defeated your enemies. He made a public show. Again, I will say it. He defeated the enemy. He led a vanquished train of foes. In other words, when they went into military battles, they would conquer the cities and they would conquer all the enemies within them. And then they would apprehend them, the captives, and they would put them in chains and they would walk them along and they would bring them up and down and say, look, these are defeated. The defeat has come to these. That's what he did. Every bondage, every sickness, every disease, every stronghold of the enemy, every lie, every deception, every wound of the heart, everything. He said, I have the power to heal it because I vanquished your enemy. He has already been sentenced and condemned. It is done. It's just playing out. When you became a Christian by surrendering to God through Christ, you were delivered out of Satan's power. I will say it again and again and again. You were delivered from the control of Satan. You now no longer bow to him. You don't bow to him. You don't bow to the suggestions and temptations that he's trying to give you that will pull you away from God, that will distort your mind, that will cause your body to be in rebellion against the word of the Lord. You're not a subject to the enemy. We understand this. That the Jewish people understood that. You know why they understood it? Because they were in slavery in Egypt for 450 years. They were in slavery and they were under the enemy's rule. And that was taught to them from generation to generation. How God brought them out with a mighty hand of deliverance. How that he judged Egypt for what they did to his people. How that he came against all their gods. Do you know that every time he striked them, it was coming against a certain God that they had worshipped. And he displayed them as being foolish and weak. And he's getting ready to do it again. Amen. Say it with me. Amen. So be the will of God. So be the will of Father. Let his heart be satisfied by demonstrating his wonder and his glory. He brought them out with a mighty, powerful hand. They understood this concept of being in slavery because they were in slavery for 450 years. They knew what it was like to be beat. They knew what it was like to be drugged down. And that's what happens in the spiritual realm every time we give the enemy a place. He takes more. He wants more. He's not satisfied until he destroys the entire person, body, soul, and spirit, mind, will, and emotions. But you have the Holy Spirit. You were purchased by God, and when you confessed your sins and gave your life to the Lord, and he baptized you with the power of his Spirit, he deposited in you himself. Himself. That is the most, that's genius. I'm going to give you the power to overcome the enemy. And as you submit to God, you have the authority and the power to use it against the enemy. And when you come against him and you are in oneness with me, operating under the government of the Holy Spirit, surrendered unto God, and when you come against the enemy and stand against him, it's like God speaking to him, and he has to bow. He has to flee. Take your authority, but come under the authority of God. It's kind of like a house. I'm going to give you a visual example. Let's say, for instance, you were buying a house. Let's say you bought this house and you love this house, and just like the Lord bought you with his blood, you're his house. And when he came in to live inside of you, this is his house. The Bible says that you're his temple, his house. He threw out the old furniture. He took the keys from the previous owner. The Bible says that when he descended, he took the keys, right, from Satan, and he said, they belong to me. All who come to me, who surrender their life, they are mine. And now God purchased you. He took the keys, and this is the house that he lives in. And he threw out all the old furniture, all the lies and the deceptions, all the sneaky stuff we did, all the things we did in front of people, all the things that we did in secret, all the times that we caroused around, slept around, drank around, played around, all the foolishness of a sinful life, a wayward life away from. That's how we were born. We were born wayward. And until he comes in and brings order to this house, we are under the control of our fleshly impulses and Satan. And when he comes in, you know what he does? Cleans the house. And he cleanses it through his Spirit and his Word. The entrance of thy Word, O God, brings light. And it shines on all the dark places inside of our mind, our will, and our emotion. And it begins to say, out, you don't live here anymore. The old man is gone. Jim, the old man's gone. Just like that song you sang. I'm not the same. I don't drink around and party and sleep around anymore. I don't do the things that I used to do. That's why the heresy of the hyper-grace movement is insulting to God. It is insulting. It is saying, I am keeping you in sin. And God will never keep his children in sin. If they are in sin, it is because they want to be in sin. And they have taken a hold of a heresy to condone their wickedness and their way of rebellion against the truth of God's word. And don't you believe anything else. All through the scriptures, all he wants to do is to make you holy, just like him. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so, because he knew that you couldn't do that on your own, he paid the price to come to cleanse this house from sin, to cleanse your mind, to cleanse everything about this house. And then he said, oh, they can't live a godly life without the Spirit. So you know what? To give them power and authority and to cause them to rise up above the heads of their enemies and to take authority over Satan, I'm going to put my Spirit in them. And when they speak my word, as they come under my authority and my word, you see, you can't have the authority over the devil when you're sleeping around with sin. You can't come against Satan and say, well, you know, be gone, when you're opening up all these doors and sleeping with the enemy. No, you surrender yourself to God. When he came in, he cleansed this house. He emptied the furniture out, and he began to fill it with every good gift. I'm going to give you the gift of knowledge. I'm going to give you the gift of wisdom. I'm going to give you the gift of my character. I'm going to put my fruit, my character. That's my character. I'm a God of justice. I'm a God of righteousness. I'm a God of truth. I'm a gentle God. I'm a kind God. I can do all things. He put his Spirit inside of you. I have self-control. I have power. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall harm you, but you must submit unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He said, because I want them to be empowered, and I want them to be able to walk in my Spirit and my authority and my character and my nature, I'm going to put myself inside of them. Just think of that. I'm so great, the Lord says, and I'm so big, and I'm so magnificent, and I'm so beyond you. I have enough to give to every person who comes to me, and you'll never lack nothing. Isn't that magnificent? We cannot fathom God. He's too great. But that's why Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians. I pray, God, that they would be bodies, holy field, and flooded with nothing but God. He wouldn't pray a prayer that couldn't be answered. So this house belongs to the Lord. The old furniture is out. The old ways are out. And God is patient as he cleanses. When we get baptized in the Spirit, he removes some things instantaneously. And then there are things that he's going to deal with along the way. And if we have a relapse, he's going to come back. And he's going to deal with us about that issue. Because he does not want you to be controlled by spirits of darkness, by satanic powers that will ruin your life. He's given you what you need to be victorious and to overcome. He's baptized you with his spirit. And I love that he said, I've got to go because you've got to have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Go to Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Don't leave there. Don't leave that altar until you're endued with power from on high. Don't leave that place of prayer until you're endued with power from on high. Don't get up from that place until you are full and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave that secret chamber until God has so drenched you in his power and his spirit that you're able to face the day and whatever may come your way. And then when the enemy raises his ugly head, because there will be opposition in this world, because you will face difficulty, because the enemy is not just going to give up and quit harassing you, you're going to have to stand against him. You're going to have to exercise your authority. You're going to have to use the word of God and know the word of God, and you're going to have to come against him. And you have the power to do it. You say, but what if I'm really weak? I remember Crystal telling me last week she was so weak. She said, I was so weak I couldn't hardly stand against it. Then God will send you aid. I've been weak like that before. And people were praying for me. And had it not been for the prayers and the intercession of other people, I might not have made it through that difficulty. No man left behind. No man left behind. We take care of one another. And that's why he said, I want you to love one another. Because if you do not love one another, then there is something wrong with your heart. You must love one another. You must forgive one another of their offenses. They have shortcomings. I got failures. I'm a person that I make mistakes. I got faults. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need you to pray for me, and I need you to correct me when I need it. Come to me in private. You see me doing something out of the character of God, you better hold me accountable. I need you. Don't let me go sin like that. Don't let me dishonor my God. Hold me to the highest standard and say, keep climbing. And if you need help, I'll come with you. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Love one another. Father, this is my prayer, that they would be one, as even the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one. Do you even know what that means? Just think about how hard it is for a married couple to come together in unity for a purpose. It takes a dying to self. It takes a surrendering. Somebody or both have to come into mutual grounds. And anytime, even in a marriage, there's opposition, right? Division. I'm going my way, you go yours. How can two walk together except they agree? You're stronger together. When you come together in unity, who can stop you? Who can stop you? It would be like somebody breaking in your home. And Tammy's at the rear with a gun and Woody's at the front because you're in agreement. They're not coming in your house. Get in agreement with God and then let the Lord bring you into oneness in your marriage, and your prayers will be answered more effectively. And for the single, I say, get into a unity with God. He is your partner. He is everything that you need him to be. If your husband left you, if you've been divorced, that doesn't change that if you'll get into harmony with God, he'll be everything they weren't. He'll be everything you need. And he'll make a way for you if you believe that. Now, if you get in opposition and say, well, I don't know, God can't meet my needs, and God can't answer these prayers, and I'm just tired of living on my own, and I'm just tired of figuring it all out. Well, if you would quit figuring out, maybe you'd give a chance for God to come in and help you. Give them an opportunity. How can two walk together except they agree? I don't know. That's not in my notes, but that's for somebody today. He's baptized us with the Holy Spirit. And this new life has come. And this new life is a life of the Spirit. And this is why the church is depleted of the anointing and the presence of God. Because we have thrown out the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And men are leading. Women are leading. People are leading. But that have not submitted to God. Not in their private life. Not in their marriages. Not in their jobs. Not in anything. And then they expect God to come in a house of disunity. A house divided by itself. Shall not stand. Not a nation, not a people. If you're not in unity, you shall not stand. And even Satan knows that in his kingdom. And they're all on the same page, working for one goal, and that's to destroy mankind. And anybody that joins them, they know, these Satanists know that they have to give him everything, and it will cost them everything too. We should know as God's people that when we surrender, that's why it's called surrender to the Lord. And we come under his authority of love and, yes, of discipline, because our flesh has to be straightened up sometimes. Just like our children when they were growing up and they did things out of their natural man, out of the carnal nature, out of the thoughts and the reasonings of men. How many are getting me? Are you getting this in the spirit? When we are like that as adults, when we are operating in the carnality and in the flesh and in the reasonings of man, we are divided from the revelation of the Spirit of God. We can no longer receive his instruction, nor do we feel the empowerment of God in our own individual lives. It is the Spirit that must lead, and we are to follow. We're to follow the Spirit. The leadings and the promptings of the Spirit. You say, well, okay, I see that in the spirit realm, but how does that work in the natural? When God tells you something in the natural, obey. Obey the leadings of the Spirit. When God tells you in his word, obey. Obey the word of God because you love God and you have given your life to him. Quit trying to manipulate to figure out a way that you can get out of it. God told me this week, for a perfect example, Brian has projects and things that he wants to do. And I have projects and things that I want to do. And I'm always figuring out ways that I can get what I want. Right? He is more disciplined in the area of self-control. And he loves me. And he lets me get by with stuff sometimes. And he'll let me have things and do without. And the Holy Spirit came to me. And he said, you want what you want. And then he has these needs over here that would help him to be able to do the things that really you would even like. But I can't do that because you take all the money. And he doesn't have enough. And he's willing to sacrifice and say nothing to you. Unity. Take what you have and give it to him. You're stronger together. Then you can tackle the things that are important, really, to your family. And then if it seems good, I'll provide a way for you. But you must be willing. And submitted. That's how it works in practical life. It's this simple. When the Holy Spirit shows that, I have a choice to obey or disobey. To do what God has asked me to do or to rebel against it. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. But he's not going to take my face, shove it into the ground and say, I force you to do this. Following the leadings of the Holy Spirit will take you on adventures that you have not had yet. It will crucify the flesh, but it will open up a new way of life for you, and it is pleasing to the Lord. He will bless you in spiritual ways that you've never known, in more deeper intimacy with God, and in deeper truth. And then he will even come in because you're listening and obeying. and He will bless you with the desires of your heart. But some things that you're not getting, you haven't gotten because you haven't surrendered in some areas of your life. You haven't submitted to what God has told you to do. I say this. This is the truth. This is practical everyday living. And we're not receiving and obtaining what we have desired because we won't be obedient. This is a way of life. Walk in the Spirit. Now let's go to Romans 8. I'm going to read it right off the bat, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. And if you don't have it in the Amplified Bible, you need it in the Amplified Bible. This whole chapter is something very important. We're not going to get to all of it. We're just going to go for the first few verses, and then I'm going to close. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk, not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. That's a powerful statement. We take it out of context. Because in this chapter, Paul told, in this book of Romans, he's telling them how God brought them out of darkness into light, how that He delivered them out of Satan's power, how that He healed them, and He removed their sins. And He did this by His love and His grace and His kindness. But then He hits chapter 6 and 7, and they're like, well, we'll just keep sinning even more so Your grace can abound. And He goes, you don't even know who you are. Because those who have been set free from sin never want to be entangled in it again. They never want to go back to that slave pit. Did the people who came out of Egypt want to go back and be in bondage? They actually kept looking back going, we want leeks and onions. God had set them free from beatings, from tyranny. And that's how we do sometimes. We look back and want to go back to appease our flesh. But those who did those things were destroyed in the wilderness. And they are a testimony that that way of life leads to destruction. But the life of the Spirit leads to pleasing God and living a life that most people never live, being led by the Spirit. He goes, don't walk after the dictates of the flesh, walk after the Spirit. What are dictates? What are the dictates? What does that mean? In the Amplified, it says dictates. It's an understanding of that word. Dictates is a word that means you follow a principle of law, of either right or wrong. There's a principle that you have. And God has His principles. God has a way of life for you. Satan has a way of life. And both of them have different outcomes, spiritually and naturally, different outcomes. He said you're to follow the dictates of the Spirit and not the dictates of the flesh. Because I don't know about you, but when the dictates of my flesh tells me, you just go and do whatever you want to do. You don't need to listen to your husband. You just buy. You just eat all this chocolate till you're sick. You just get more donuts. You charge up that charge card. You just keep on, just feed the flesh. Feed it, baby, till it's plump and thick and fat and lazy. And then you know what? You can't fulfill the will of God because you're too busy living for yourself. He said, until you die to yourself, you won't know what it's like to really live. If you want that lower life, go ahead and live it, but you'll never know the higher life. You'll never know what it's like to walk in the Spirit. You'll never know what it's like to live by the Holy Ghost. You'll never know what it's like to give words of knowledge, words of wisdom, see miracles, signs, and wonders. You'll never know what it's like to have me step in at a moment when you least expected it and do something for your life that nobody else could have done. You won't know what it's like to see angels. You won't know what it's like to have me come in dreams and visions and speak to you. Because if you're willing to love this lower life so much, you're going to lose the higher. You're not going to know what it's like to walk in harmony and unison with God. And you'll lose out on all the things that the world will never be able to give you. That, by the way, are in the process of decay. Unless the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, It never becomes more. But if it dies, it will produce a harvest, an eternal spiritual harvest, and a harvest for your life here. Surrendering to the Spirit and the Word of God takes a dying to self so that the resurrection life of Jesus can live in you. And that means you have to have a deep and intimate relationship. You say, how has all this happened? Well, I can get up here and talk about it like this, but I'm going to tell you how it's going to happen, and it's going to be the hardest thing in your life. Build your relationship with God. Know Him. I can't do that for you. You have to build your relationship with God. And you want me to tell you what's most beautiful to the Lord? Your honesty. Your transparency. Don't hide from Him, even in your secret chamber. Because we do. And we speak things out of religion. And we're not being truthful. It's just a facade. It's just pretty languages. It's just, you know what, strip it down. If I can say it this way, get naked in your spirit before the Lord. Quit hiding. Tell Him the truth. He already knows. He loves honesty. A broken and a contrite spirit I will not despise, says the Lord. Hate your sin. You fall down, you go back to something that God's delivering, you better get out of it really quick. You better run to the Lord as fast as you can. You better get on that altar, or you better get in your car, or you better go somewhere in your closet, in your prayer chamber, and you better get that crap off your life, because the enemy will control you with it. And he'll just push you into the ground. And he'll even condemn you with it. He'll say, God can't never forgive you. That's why repentance is essential. It's not just something you did once when you accepted Christ. If you make a mistake, if you sin intentionally, you better get that off. And if you habitually sin, then there's something wrong. Your relationship with God is out of unity. And you are not walking in harmony with God. And you're in danger. You're in danger. There is nowhere in the Scriptures, nowhere, especially in the new birth, where it tells you to live a sinful life so that God can show more grace to you. That does not exist. He is always raising you up. He is always telling you to walk in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's always lifting you up and challenging you in your life. He says, I will prune you and I will prune you again so that you bear more fruit. And then just when you feel comfortable and you think, oh, I feel great, I feel holy, I feel righteous, He'll show you something else in your heart that needs to go, and then He'll say, I'm going to come and cut that out. And then you're going to go, ah! And it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you if you let Him. If you let Him. The key to this, look at this. Listen to the key. He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, listen to that, Christ's law is of life. It's life, which is in Christ Jesus. The law of our new being has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do. Its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. Why are we leaving the Spirit of God out? Quench not the Holy Spirit. He is the element, the divine seed inside of you, that throws you over the top of your enemy, that gives you the ability to live differently than all the people on the face of the earth, that causes you to walk in righteousness and truth. He's the key to successful, eternal, spiritual life. Even the Word of God can become religious without the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word united together changes supernaturally by divine inspiration and power the hardest heart and makes it tender, responsive to the touch and the whispers of God. The gentle movings of His Spirit to where you stop in just an average day and say, wait a minute, that's Him. A blade of grass that the wind blows. I heard Him in it. I see Him. And you're moved by it to a place to where you worship and acknowledge His voice. Sending His own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh through His own Son and overcame it, deprived it of its power over all who will accept that sacrifice. So He's done it, and it's only active if you accept it in your own life. He's done everything there needs to be done for people to walk in a different way of life if we accept it. How did you come to Christ? I surrender and I accept You. How do you get victory over that issue in your life? I surrender, confess, and accept You. It's the same. It's the same. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh. Can you see the distinction He's making here? You're not to walk in the flesh. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. You're to walk in the Spirit. I know your body is of flesh, but you're not to walk by the fleshly dictates of your mind and your will and your emotion. They're to be surrendered unto God, and the Spirit is to inhabit you. He is to dwell in you. God bought you. He got the keys to the house. The old furniture's thrown out. The new furniture's in. Live a new life by the Spirit. That's exactly what He's saying. You're to walk by the Spirit's power. You deprived the flesh of its power. Christ did that when He overcame the grave and when He presented His blood before the Father. He defeated Satan for your life and for mine and for all who will accept it. For all who will accept it. For all who will walk in it by faith and believe it. Because of intimacy. Otherwise, it's just law to you. It's the relationship that you have with Jesus and the intimacy that you have with Him that makes you submit. I don't know about you, but my husband's love for me makes me submit. It's selfless. And when I see Christ having done that for me, I submit willingly. Will the flesh throw a fit every now and then? Oh yeah, that's the nature of the flesh, but it no longer has power over you. That's exactly what He's saying, because you walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to stop there, and we're going to go more into this next week. I feel that God is calling His church to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit again. We have been operating in the flesh in the houses of the Lord, and we have not seen the demonstration of God. What God did today was not any workings of my own. He apprehended me. And He did for you what no man could do for you. And it was not by might nor by power, but it was by the Spirit of the Sovereign God. And that is victory. Victory for you and victory for me. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Your word, oh God, is like a sword that's sharp on both edges. It wounds, but it heals. It cuts off the cancer. It cuts off the lies. It's a weapon against the enemy, but it's life and salvation to me. Your words have been spoken here today, and you are coming to us with the plumb line of Jesus, the work that he's done and finished. And you're asking us to surrender to the finished work of Jesus so that we can walk in a deeper level with you, God, in the Spirit. And if the people of God have ever needed to walk in the Spirit, it is now. As you shake the heavens and the earth, the key to victorious living in the future and persevering into the end will be the Word of God and the Spirit united together in the heart of the believer, who gives no opportunity to the flesh to resist the Spirit of God. Father, right now, we surrender to that work. We say yes and amen. I know that many, Father, who have not surrendered their life to you may not understand these things, because the mind of the flesh cannot understand spiritual things. But I do ask you, Lord, for those who are listening, and at that moment, maybe at this very hour, at this very moment, you are apprehending their heart. They are full of fear. They're looking around them. They're watching the news. They're seeing what's going on in the nation and around the world. They're seeing how everything can be shaken, and they're questioning their existence. They're questioning where they're going to spend eternity. They're questioning certain things. They've heard about you, but they do not know you. And I ask you, Father, right now, bring them to you through the revelation and the power of the Holy Spirit. For no man can even come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. Let the Word of God, through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, let it apprehend their heart. Even through this foolish vessel, Lord, let the Word of God apprehend them and bring them unto you. Right now, Father, reveal the plan of salvation to them. Right now, bring that prodigal out of darkness and rebellion and cause them to submit to the Spirit of God and truly know what it's like to live. Right now, bring freedom to those who have been held in captivity by Satan. Even people in the church who continue to rebel against you, and Lord, you have told them again and again and again, and it's becoming dangerous because the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And the word of the Lord says that the Spirit of God convicts of sin and reminds them that righteousness only comes through the blood of Jesus, and they will stand before God and give an account for their life. And that should cause every person to fear and reverence the Lord and do a self-examination. May we submit to God and live. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.